Today for Thanksgiving, a musical conversation with folk singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer.
Looking out at the night beyond the driver's wheel, curving hips made of snow in the winter fields. There's a house set way back where the lamplight glows like a star out in the cold, filled with people I'll never know. Who left a light in the window?
Indiana-born and based, Carrie Newcomer has been called a prairie mystic. She's best known for her story songs like Betty's Diner that get at raw and redemptive edges of human reality. She's also an interesting collaborator in writing and performance with author and educator Parker Palmer, novelist Barbara Kingsolver, and neuroscientist Jill Bolte Taylor. I'm Krista Tippett, and this is On Being. I welcomed Carrie Newcomer and her guitar to the On Being studios on Loring Park in Minneapolis before a live audience. So, welcome to On Being on Loring Park. It's so wonderful to have Carrie Newcomer here. You're something of a celebrity in Quaker circles.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's kind of a phrase that you don't usually see here together.
I know. Yeah. But people often, I notice that journalists often refer to you as a Quaker singer. But I wasn't sure of this until I started to delve into this, that you weren't raised Quaker. That wasn't the religious background of your childhood. So would you talk about what that was and how you came to this tradition?
Well, I was raised in northern Indiana. I'm a Hoosier, which impresses people everywhere.
As much as being a Quaker celebrity?
It's right up there.
Yeah.
Right up there. But my mom was raised Catholic. She's from a first-generation American from an Italian family. And my father was raised Methodist, but his family background was Mennonite, Amish. So I think I'm the only, like, Italian Amish person on the planet, I think, except my sisters. But other than that, it's just me. But I was kind of raised, you know, in a basic Protestant Methodist church later on. Eventually, you know, I was doing a service semester for the college I was going to in Costa Rica, and I encountered the silent, unprogrammed Quakers there in Monteverde. But it felt like home. And people will ask me often, they say, you're a musician, you make your life in sound, and you go to a silent Quaker meeting, what's with that, you know? And, but it makes all the sense in the world that my best language is always come out of the silence.
So here's something, a sentence you wrote: music approaches the sacred through the wordless avenues of the heart. And I wonder, you know, how and when in your life did you discover music and discover that music does that?
I think, you know, I do sit with the silent Quakers, but I think my most consistent and deep spiritual practice has been songwriting. So yeah, and when I became a teenager, I fell in love with the singing poets. Mm. You know, those people who were
like who?
You know, the Joni Mitchell.
Oh, okay, right.
You know, Dylan. When I was feeling
Leonard Cohen.
Leonard
maybe.
Cohen. You know, all these people who were combining beautiful poetry. Mm-hmm. And music, and I fell in love with that, so I picked up the guitar. And but that idea of music being a spiritual practice, that kind of evolved, you know, because to be a songwriter, I had to develop and practice some of the things that I think belong to the idea of spiritual practice. You know, I had to really start to practice presence. You have to be present. You have to show up
to whatever you're writing about.
To whatever you're writing, but and to your whole life, you know, human story. We're so amazing. People were interesting and we're inspiring and we're bewildering, and there's something about that.
So, you know, what's coming to mind when you're saying that is Betty's Diner. Ah. And, you know, it's a very wordy song, too.
Yes,
it's not a wordless
space. Lots of words.
But it's really wonderful, and I think it's kind of classic Carrie Newcomer, and I'm sure a lot of people here love it, too. So, I mean, I think, would you play Betty's Diner?
Oh,
and
sure.
Here's a question I have for you as a musician, especially because your lyrics are so important, and you've written lots of songs over the years. I mean, if I ask you to play something, will you remember all the words? And do you remember all the words of every song you've ever played over the last decades?
When you have a lot of songs trailing behind you, no.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Some songs I might have to dust them off a little bit.
Yeah. But not this one, probably.
But I think, yeah, I've got Betty's Diner. Betty's Diner, I think, came out of that love for people. I mean, I was traveling around and touring all over the country, and I think as a traveling folk singer, it's not like you're going from arena to arena. I mean, it's you see the world close up,
mm-hmm.
and you hear stories close up. And so I ended up writing this little song about Betty's Diner, about where community happens, you know, and where the spirit of goodness moves in the world.
Miranda works the late night counter, a little joint called Betty's Diner, chrome and checkered tablecloths, and one steamy windowpane. She got the job that shaky fall, and after hours she'll ride till dawn. With a nod and smile she serves them all. Here we are all in one place, the wants and wounds of the human race. Despair and hope sit face to face when you come in from the cold. Let her fill your cup with something kind, eggs and toast like bread and wine. She's heard it all, so she don't mind. Arthur lets his Earl Grey steep. Since April it's been hard to sleep. You know they tried most everything, but it took her in the end. Kevin tests new saxophones, but he swears he's leaving quality control for the Chicago scene or New Orleans, where they still play righteous horns. Here we are all in one place, the wants and wounds of the human race. Despair and hope sit face to face when you come in from the cold. Let her fill your cup with something kind, and toast like bread and wine. She's heard it all, so she don't mind. And Jack studies here after work. To get past high school, he's the first. His big hands look comfortable with a hammer or a pen. And Emma leaned and kissed her his cheek. When she did, his knees got weak. Miranda smiles at him and winks. Here we are all in one place, the wants and wounds of the human race. Despair and hope sit face to face when you come in from the cold. Let her fill your cup with something kind, and toast like bread and wine. She's heard it all, so she don't mind. You never know who'll be your witness. You never know who grants forgiveness. Look to heaven or sit with us. Deidre bites her lip and frowns. She works a stop and go downtown.
Did it happen?
It happened.
That's a lot of words.
Deidre bites her lip and frowns. She works the stop and go downtown. She's pretty good at the crossword page, and she paints her eyes blue-black. And Tristan comes along sometime, small for his age, and he's barely five, but she loves him like a mama lion. Beta used to drink a lot, almost lost it all before she stopped. Comes in at night with her friend Mike, who runs the crisis line. And Michael toured Saigon and back, hair the color of smoke and ash. Their heads are bowed, their hands are clasped. One more storm has passed, here we are all in one place. The wants and wounds of the human race, despair and hope sit face to face. When you come in from the cold, fill your cup with something kind. Eggs and toast like bread and wine. She's heard it all, so she don't mind.
I'm Krista Tippett, and this is On Being. Today, a musical conversation with folk singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer.
You know, this phrase of yours that I love, the intimate link between creativity and spirituality, is beautiful, but it's embodied spirituality, right? That's what you do. It's humanity with all its mess and its edges, and as you say, it's bewilderment and beauty.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I write a lot about finding something extraordinary in an ordinary day, maybe even something sacred in an ordinary day, and I think about that a lot, and I write about it a lot, and I think there's a longing out there for that kind of acknowledgement, that our lives, our daily lives, they're wondrous, and they're valuable, and they're honorable, you know, the smallest things, you know. So I write about that a lot.
You know, here's something else you've said that I'd love for you to tease out for us. The source of all things is the finest and first artist. I mean, there's a piece of theology in there. You're not using the word God, which is fine. But, I mean, when we talk about God anyway, in the most traditional context, we use metaphor, God as father, God as judge. I love God as artist, or the source of all things as artist. And it really is, as I said, it's a piece of theology.
Yeah, I've always had a spiritual current to my work. You know, some people come to spiritual music and creating spiritual music through the church, and, you know, some of us come through the bars, you know, and that, I'm, you know, it's a different way of getting there. But, you know, that idea that there is something shining in the world, there's something shimmering just below the surface of things always. The light in the world is being an artist, is being creative, curious. Oh. Hmm. But that idea of curiosity, of question, and asking questions again, and sensing that something just shimmering below the surface of things and going, wow, what is that?
I wonder if, it seems to me this song that's the first song on your new CD, Every Little Bit of It, there's a great line in it. I thought I knew the question, but I guess not. I mean, I really like that too, that finding better questions is a sacred act. Do you want to sing that one?
Sure, I could sing.
I mean, I think that song touches on a lot of the things we're talking about. Does it? Does it touch on that?
I think so, yeah. I think it does. Yeah, and a lot of this song, there was a sections of this song that came out of conversation I was having with a mutual friend, Parker Palmer.
Another celebrity Quaker. In fact, you two may be it.
I'm going to tell him you said so. I've really loved and enjoyed working with Parker, and some of our conversations have become songs. I'm turning on my guitar here. All right. Start again.
Okay. It's just like your living room, too.
Yeah.
Just beyond my sight, something that I cannot see. I've been circling round a thought that's been circling round me, and like the vapor of a song that is just out of earshot. I thought I knew the question, but I guess not. And there it is, just below the surface of things, in a flash of blue and the turning of wings. I drain the glass, drink it down every moment. Every little bit of it, every little bit. I swam against the tide, I tripped on my own pride. So I'll try again today to get out of my own way. The face was always in the stone, said Michelangelo. You just have to chip and clear to see what is already there. There it is, just below the surface of things, in a flash of blue and the turning of wings. I drain the glass, drink it down every moment of this, every something nameless and abiding. And so we keep transcribing. There it is, just below the surface of things, in a flash of blue and the turning of wings. I drain the glass, drink it down every moment of this, every little bit of it, every little bit, every little bit of this, every little bit. Every little bit of it. Every little bit of it.
I'm curious if you remember the conversation you had with Parker that turned into that song.
Well, it was actually a series of conversations. You know, we were talking about, well, the thing that shines below the surface of everything, the curious promise of limited time.
Yes.
You know,
that's a wonderful line.
Thank you. That idea that we're here right now in this moment. And when you know that time is limited, it makes everything a little more poignant, a little more powerful.
Hmm. You know, the word light is a word you use a lot. I wonder if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that a lot of people use it. I mean, it's a very important metaphor and image, and it's not that you're the only one who uses it, but it really did jump out at me. The geography of light is very evocative name for... You had an album which you named...
The Geography of Light.
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering if you can put words around what it is about light that keeps calling you.
Well, I've always liked in the Quaker tradition that sometimes God is referred to, or whatever the larger is referred to as the light. And we all experience that, you know, that what is that that happens when you see a sunset and your heart becomes too big for your chest, or the first time you see your baby in your arms and you know, time expands out in all directions from that child. You know, when you see that first red leaf of autumn, and it's bittersweet, and it's so incredibly exciting at the same time, what is that? You know, so I see it, and I sense it every day. I see it in people all the time. And maybe that's why I keep writing about it, because I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I just know it's there.
Yes, and I think the autumn analogy also gets at something I sense behind it. It's also a presence to darkness, right? Like being attentive to light.
Yes.
Because you're attentive to the shadows.
Yeah, it is. It's all shadow and light, you know. There's a lot of sorrows in this world. And maybe that's part of how I negotiate that, you know. I think when you're sensitive to the sorrows of this world, and you've experienced shadows in your own life, you know, you can do different things with it. You can despair, you can shut down, or you kind of lean into the light, you know, without denying or, you know, placing in a compartment or making small this idea of shadow. It's just there. It's life. It's all of it. It's all of the above.
Yeah, that is a very redemptive way of thinking about you know, the song that occurs to me is Bare to the Bone. That's about... And to me, that's about... Yes, I mean, it's struggling with something like, you know, depression, which I have gone through, or, you know, these really bad things that happen to us. But also I think that song is about how kind of day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year, struggle is also kind of woven into the things that are right.
Yes.
Right? It just is. And, you know, there's something about leaning into that, too, which is hard.
You know, there's some songs that land, you know, that... They're songs that you hone on for a long time. Betty's Diner was a project. You know, it was notes taken on the road. It was a short story.
Right.
And now it's a play, actually. I've written a play with Richard Thomas. And it'll be produced at Purdue University in 2015. But yeah, some things you hone on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then once in every great while, a song comes all... It's already done. It's completed. You just kind of get out of the way. And Bare to the Bone was like that. I sat down in my, you know, space where I like to write, and it came out in a half an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you sing that one?
Sure. I wish there were more of those.
Yeah.
But it's only once in a great while. But, yeah, that idea of struggle being part of it. ¶¶ it's a simple song, really. You know,
You
know, it's interesting. You know, musically, I think something also good happened to my music when I stopped being afraid to do something, to present it simply, because I was afraid that people would think I couldn't do it in a complex way. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a simplicity that happens when you just don't know what else to do. And it can be a little raw, and it can be real honest, you know. And then there's the simplicity that happens because it's the best way to say it. Mm-hmm. So, here I am without a message. Here I stand with empty hands. Just a spirit tired of wandering like a stranger in this land. Walking wide-eyed through this world is the only way I've known. Wrapped in hope and good intention and bare to the bone. There is nothing I won't show you, nothing I can hide. I've risked it all and dreamt it all, and seldom questioned why. You took me in when I was hungry, when my spirit ached and groaned. Laid wide open and defenseless and bare to the bone. So when I rise, arise in glory, if I do by grace. Time will wash away these footprints and we'll leave without a trace. Between here and now and forever is such precious little time. What we do in love and kindness is all we ever leave behind. When the light is slowly fading and my eyes...
You can listen again and share this conversation with Carrie Newcomer through our website on being.org.
The world is barely breathing. Then your voice can call me and your hands can lead me home. Like a newborn, odd and naked and bare to the bone.
I'm Krista Tippett. On Being continues in a moment. This podcast is brought to you by IT Pro TV, an online training space for aspiring IT professionals with a vast course library and 30 hours of course material recorded live each week. You can have direct interaction via live chat while the course is streamed and through web-based Q&As on specific topics. Best of all, you can view training materials on all your devices, smartphone or tablet, your laptop, or even watch IT Pro TV on your Roku box between your favorite shows. And their learning management system tracks your progress. Subscriptions are normally $57 per month, but there's a special offer for On Being podcasters. Sign up using the code ONBEING30 and you'll receive 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your account. So go to itpro.tv/onbeing and use the code ONBEING30.
So when I rise and rise in glory, if I do, I do by grace. Time will wash away these footprints and we'll leave without a trace between here and now.
I'm Krista Tippett and this is On Being. Today, for Thanksgiving, we're broadcasting a live musical conversation at On Being on Loring Park with folk singer, songwriter Carrie Newcomer.
Here I am without a message. Here I stand with empty hands. Just a spirit tired of wandering like a stranger in this land. Walking wide-eyed through this world is the only way I've known. Wrapped in hope and good intention and bare to the bone. Wrapped in hope and good intention and bare to the bone.
So some journalist from Boston called you a prairie mystic. And, you know, I've been around a lot of people lately who have been using the word prophet. And I love the not just the language of the mystic, but the idea. But you use the word mystic. You were, when you write about people, you know, somebody who's a carpenter, a mystic, and a poet, and I wonder if you'd say a little bit about how you think about mystics among us, or who the mystics are among us. What are the qualities of that?
The piece I think that you were quoting from was about a fellow in my Quaker meeting who's recently passed away, but in his 90s, and he was just one of these incredible people that just could not get the world close enough. He just was this incredible character, and he would talk about the natural world in ways that really honored that shining something that was present in it. And I felt he was a mystic. He would never say that.
Yeah,
of course not.
That's proof of part of the, that part it might
the,
be true.
Part of the deal, you yeah. know?
There's this, there's an analogy that somebody offered me, and it was the earliest days of the show, but I've never forgotten it. It was a scientist, a geneticist, who's also an Anglican priest. He said that the spirituality of a scientist is like the spirituality of a mystic, which is to say, defining and asserting truth as best as you can articulate it in this moment, but always living in the expectation, always taking delight in what you do not yet, cannot yet know, and living in the expectation of better discoveries to come.
Yeah, that idea of living in the expectation, to live in the question, mm-hmm. and to be comfortable there, to live in the question.
Yeah.
You know, and in the wonder of it, the wonder of the question.
I think, though, sometimes living in the wonder can be a creative tension, but in a tension with the certainties. And mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, that was his point, that is actually a holy tension, a sacred tension.
I think it is. Though something happens, I have a song called "I Believe" that mm-hmm. that came about because I was asked to sing in a church service. In this particular church service, at one point, the people stood and they recited a creed together as a community.
They weren't Quakers.
They were Quakers because they kind of don't say anything. So But I got to thinking about it, that there is something powerful, not when it's said without thought, but when you do say something out loud that's important to you, I love you, and you mean it, or if you need me, I will be there. When you say it out loud, this I love, something shifts, something changes a little bit. So there is that thing of what is it I believe, what is it that I think is true, at least now, as close as I can find and articulate.
Yeah, I think there's something deeply human and essential about that.
Yeah.
Even for the most deeply, constantly questioning of us.
The edges can get soft.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's no place to put your feet.
There's something that you wrote. This is in your book, and I may just read a little bit of this, and maybe ask you to read the rest of it, or then you read it yourself. But I want to read it just because I love these words. Three gratitudes. Now, it's a wonderful poem, but I also just find this idea so useful. I want to start doing this myself, and here's how it starts. Every night before I go to sleep, I say out loud three things that I am grateful for, all the significant, insignificant, extraordinary, ordinary stuff of my life. It's a small practice and humble, and yet I find I sleep better holding what lightens and softens my heart.
And it's true. It was like just saying out loud three things. You know, and sometimes it would be, you know, big things, and sometimes it would be little things, and then sometimes I'd get on a roll and I just couldn't stop, and
And you do it even on the days that were hard?
Yes, I would. Mm-hmm. And that would change something, mm-hmm. to end my day that way.
You know, there's some really interesting science now about, and it's not that different from this. I mean, it's just about asking people in a study to once a week or once a day make a list of things they're grateful for. Very routine. Mm-hmm. And it improves their health. And, yeah, they sleep better. They're more at peace.
Kindness is another idea like that. I think we talk about love a lot, and I think love can get really big. You know, like love gets like you can't almost get your arms around it. It's such a big thing. But kindness is like the country cousin to love. You know, it kind of does dishes, when no one asked it to. And yeah. I try in some ways that the songs that I write would have a bit of that feeling to them, that just a sense of kindness about them. That's the hope anyways.
Mm-hmm. You want to read that poem?
Sure.
The whole thing, the Three Gratitudes?
Three Gratitudes. This is related to a song called Thank You and Good Night. Every night before I go to sleep, I say out loud three things that I'm grateful for. All the significant, insignificant, extraordinary, ordinary stuff of my life. It's a small practice and humble, and yet I find I sleep better holding what lightens and softens my life ever so briefly at the end of the day. Sunlight and blueberries, good dogs and wool socks, a fine rain, a good friend, fresh basil and wild phlox, my father's good health, my daughter's new job, the song that always makes me cry, always at the same part, no matter how many times I hear it. Decent coffee at the airport. And your quiet breathing. The story she told me, the frost patterns on the windows, English horns and banjos, wood thrush and June bugs, the smooth, glassy calm of the morning pond. An old coat, a new poem, my library card. And that my car keeps running despite all the miles. And after three things, more often than not, I get on a roll and I just keep on going. I keep naming and listing until I lie grinning, blankets pulled up to my chin, awash with wonder at the sweetness of it all.
You wrote or said, "My best prayers are songs. Always have been."
Yeah.
And I wondered if you might sing us a song that is a prayer.
Well, they're all kind of... Mm-hmm. They're all kind of like...
Yeah,
that.
Okay. Well, what feels more like the prayer you would pray today?
So this is on the new one. And it's kind of about hope in a way, and thresholds. And there's a lot on this new album about thresholds. We're always coming up to new thresholds.
That's such a great word too. I love that word, thresholds.
I do too.
Yeah.
And we keep arriving at them, you know. And at a threshold, there's often a moment where what is old has passed away, but the new hasn't quite arrived yet. So you stand there at the doorway, you know, and all the more important that we remember to be kind.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're all kind of figuring it out right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that idea, I really sense that everywhere I go, too. I think there is this longing out there, you know, that longing, and sometimes... not even sure what exactly the longing's about just yet. Looking out at the night beyond the driver's.
driver's wheel, curving hips made of snow in the winter fields. There's a house set way back where the lamplight glows like a star out in the cold, filled with people I'll never know, who left a light in the window.
I'm Krista Tippett, and this is On Being for Thanksgiving with folk singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer.
What would I change if the choice were mine? I was doing the best I knew at the time. And every door that was opened and door that closed, all the things that made me grow, set me off down another road, off to look for a light in the window. Now the old has already passed away, but the new is too new to be born today. So I'm throwing out seeds on the winter snow as a cold wind begins to blow. Standing here on a new threshold, I can see a light, there's a light in the window. And the world is made of stone, and the world is made of glass, and the world is made of light, and it's moving very fast. Pass from mystery to mystery, so I won't lie. I don't know what happens when people die, but I hope that I see you walking slow, smiling wide as the sunrise grows. Drop my map with a thousand folds, in the distance I see it glow. There's a light, there's a light, there's a light in the window.
It's that light again.
There it is again. It does fascinate me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so this one, actually, I listened to this great interview that you did with Vincent Harding.
Oh, yeah, who just died this year.
And what a beautiful interview that was. And he was talking about people singing together.
Yes.
The importance of people singing together.
And how, in the 60s, how the Civil Rights Movement sang the way to freedom.
I was very touched by it, and he kind of challenged, though, a little bit at the end, like, you know, we need those, we need more.
Yeah.
We need the new ones that people are writing today. And I thought, yeah, well, I'm a songwriter.
Yeah, no, and I don't want to ask you about that. And I talked to the Indigo Girls last summer, and Amy Ray in particular. She's very, very oriented towards social justice, and I asked them, and this was on my list of questions we didn't get to, you know, she said, this is something I'm thinking about, and I think songwriters are thinking about. You know, where's the Pete Seeger? I mean, their music was so central to all of that ferment a few decades ago.
Yes, and it's an interesting, it's really an art form. It's a challenge to write a song that people can sing immediately the first time they hear it.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that they got people doing, and the spirituals, of course, did this, right? Which is what the civil rights are. Yeah.
But something happens. The room shifts. when people sing together. And they sing out loud things, words and phrases that touch something deep and human and hopeful. And I wanted to write a song that talked about hope, but not in a greeting card kind of way. You know, there's the kind of hope that's like wishful thinking. And then there's like a hope that's kind of gritty. It's like the kind of hope that gets up every morning and chooses to try to make the world just a little kinder place in your own way. And the next morning gets up and does it again. And the next morning gets up and you have been disappointed. And you do it again. I wanted to write about the kind of hope that's faithful, the kind that Niebuhr talked about. Anything worth doing will probably not be achieved in one lifetime, so we are saved by hope. That kind of hope. And it's a harder kind of hope to live with because it's easier to be cynical. I mean, when you're cynical, you're never disappointed. You know?
It's true. Yeah.
It's like, well, I knew that.
Yeah. It's cowardly in that sense, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's courageous to hope because when you do choose to hope, eventually at some point your heart will be broken and you will be disappointed and then you get up and you do it again. But I think that courage has nothing to do with being fearless. I think courage has everything to do with loving something or someone so much that you will brave it with solid feet or shaky knees because you love it that much. And music has always been like that for me. And the things we hope for, the things we love, we hope because we love it that much. It's worth the risk, you know? So... we do have an audience here, so you could sing along. You've been hoping, right?
Well, we just figure out when to sing along.
Well, this is part. If not now, tell me when. You try that. If not now, tell me when. It goes like this. We may never see this moment. We may never see this moment. Place and time again, place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when. Okay, here's the whole thing. If not now, tell me when.
Carrie Newcomer's albums include Betty's Diner, The Gathering of Spirits, and more recently, A Permeable Life, which has an accompanying book of poetry and essays.
Moment, a place and time again. If not now, if not now, tell me when.
You can watch her performance of the songs you've just heard and a few more at onbeing.org. There you'll also find the lyrics and audio of all the music and conversation in this hour. And as always, you can listen again or share this show again at onbeing.org.
We'll make the change we can. If not now, if not now, tell me when. Here we go. If not now.
On Being is Trent Gilliss, Chris Heagle, Lily Percy, Mariah Helgeson, Chris Jones, David Shimke, and Becca Johnson. Special thanks this week to Maury Jensen for helming the board during my conversation with Carrie Newcomer. Also, in these days around Thanksgiving, we thought it might be a good time to thank all the people who make On Being possible behind the scenes. Our board members, Jay Coles, Julie Zelli, and Will Rosenzweig, Jennifer Finney, who transcribes all our raw interviews, our accountants, Amy Langamo, Polly Walker, and Chris Dahl, our colleague, Jeff Ulrich at Midroll, Tom Fletcher and Jim Hessian, who make our studios at Loring Park sing, the crew who built our beautiful space, Deb Nocon, Tom Brown, Mitch Heumann, Scott Anderson, and the architects at the Cunningham Group, including John Cunningham and Jeff Mandyke. Our terrific station relations rep, Melissa LaCase, and Graham Griffith, our colleague in public radio and beyond. Mary Morrison, who gives us legal counsel when we need it. Our stellar branding and design partners at Pentagram, Emily Oberman and Elliot Walker. Our app development team of Mike Park and Bill Heyman. And a big thanks to our friends at SoundCloud, especially Jim Colgan and Jamie Katsoufis. My gratitude also goes to all the guest contributors who've honored us with their writing for our blog, with a special mention to our new lineup of weekly columnists, including Courtney Martin, Parker Palmer, and Omid Safi. If you haven't read them yet, you should.
Oh, let it go, my love, my truest. Let it sail on silver wings. Life's a twinkling, that's for certain, but it's such a fine thing. There's a gathering of spirits, there's a festival of friends, and we'll take up where we left off when we all meet again. Oh yeah, now didn't we? Don't we make it shine? Aren't we standing in the center of something rare and fine, some glow like ember?
On Being is supported by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide at fordfoundation.org, and by Calliopeia Foundation, contributing to organizations that weave reverence, reciprocity, and resilience into the fabric of modern life.
Where we left off when we all meet again.
On Being is distributed by American Public Media and is a Krista Tippett Public production.
Thanks again to IT Pro TV, the source for online IT training, for sponsoring this podcast episode. Sign up now and use the code ONBEING30, and you'll receive 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your account. That's itpro.tv/onbeing with code ONBEING30.